lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to the Back to the Bible radio program. This is Brent Arnold, the preacher for the Greenfield Church of Christ in Greenfield, Tennessee. And I'm delighted to have the opportunity to study God's Word with you this morning. Now, let us open God's Word together as we go back to the Bible.
The time of the judges was a distressing time when the people were turning away from God to just do their own thing and suffering the consequences because of that. But even during this time, there was a simple lady named Hannah who took steps to dramatically change things for the better. She never served as a prophet, preaching powerful sermons or writing books of the Old Testament. She never served as priest, offering sacrifices or leading the people in worship. She never served as a judge, with people seeking her for advice or counsel how to apply God's law to everyday life. But here's what she did. She prayed that God would grant her the blessing of having a child. She wanted to be a godly mother, and she asked God to answer that request. She trusted God to answer her prayer, and when he did, she gave her son to the service of the Lord. And because of that, the son that she raised, Samuel, did become a faithful prophet, priest, and judge. He was the leader that God's people really needed during this time of rebellion and sin. Having a faithful Christian mother is truly one of the greatest blessings that God can give. And being a faithful Christian mother is truly one of the greatest ministries that any person can engage themselves in. So today I want us to really focus on the ministry of Hannah and let that be an encouragement to all of us as parents to realize the invaluable contribution that we can make to the Lord's kingdom by simply being a godly, faithful parent. Now, as we study Hannah's story, it begins with Hannah's disappointment. In 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 2, the Bible tells us about a man named Elkanah. Elkanah had two wives, and polygamy wasn't uncommon in Old Testament times, even though I'm not convinced that that's ever the way God really wanted people to live. But nonetheless, he overlooked the ignorance of that time. But Elkanah had two wives, Hannah and Peninnah. And the Bible says that Hannah had no children. Hannah had the burden of dealing with a disappointing situation. Many of us have faced a situation like this. Either of something that we don't have that we want to have, or something that's painful, or something that we want to change forever, whatever reason. And we've dealt with the situation and dealt with the situation, but it just doesn't seem to get any better. Hannah had many advantages in her life, but what she wanted was a child. She wanted to be a mother. And all of the advantages that she had could not overcome this one disadvantage. Her condition was beyond her control, and she couldn't escape in her mind because of that. Every year, Elkanah and his family would go up to the tabernacle at the time of the Passover to celebrate the feast with all of the rest of God's people. And that should have been a joyful event for Hannah. But every year, Peninnah used it as an opportunity to irritate her and make fun of her barrenness. Verse 6 and 7 says, "Her rival provoked her severely to make her miserable because the Lord had closed her womb." And so it was year by year when they went up to the house of the Lord, that she provoked her, and therefore she wept and did not eat. Only the Lord knows how many tears Hannah cried over her situation. Hannah had lived her life the right way, and that made this all the more difficult to understand. I've tried to be the woman that God wants me to be. Why won't He bless me to become a mother? Even Elkanah didn't really seem to understand just how desperate her situation was. In verse 8, he said, "Hannah, why do you weep?" As if she didn't have a reason to weep. "Why do you not eat, and why is your heart grieved? You know, am I not better to you than 10 sons?" Hannah was happy to be a wife. She was blessed to be a wife. She recognized that, but that still was no replacement for the desire that she had to be a mother. But here's the thing about Hannah. This is the thing that to me is the most powerful element of her life. Hannah's disappointment brought her closer to God. Verse 10 tells us that she was in bitterness of soul, and she prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. This supper where Hannah had been provoked by Elkanah's other wife greatly distressed and saddened Hannah, but she did not despair. She was childless, but she was not faithless. She went before the Lord and she prayed and she wept regarding all of the bitterness of her soul. She realized where she could turn in her hour of urgent need. We all face a trial of some kind, though our trial may be different from Hannah's. We all face these kind of distressing and difficult situations. And our trials will either make us better or they will make us bitter. And in her case, Hannah's made her better. Moments like these can either bring us closer to God, if we allow them, or drive us further away. Psalm 119, verse 71 says, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes." We give thanks to God for these faithful Christians whose faith enables them to weather the storms of life and take care of the people they love. Life sometimes hands them lemons, but with God's help, they turn it into sweet lemonade. Instead of allowing her problem to turn her away from God, Hannah went to God in prayer. Let's focus on that prayer for a moment here. Verses 10 and 11 says that Hannah made a vow. And she said, "O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head." Hannah vowed a serious vow. She knew that she would be the first influence in the life of her child, and she wanted to point him in the right direction. God bless parents that are committed to the spiritual development of their children. Unfortunately, that isn't always the case. I heard about a Florida church that was holding monthly events for the entire family, hoping that this would bring the entire family to church and build fellowship between families and help promote some spiritual growth. But the problem was many parents were just dropping their kids off and not staying for the events. Well, this church came up with what they thought was a remedy for the problem. And they made this announcement on their Facebook page. "The Magic of Lassie, a film for the whole family, will be shown Saturday evening at 5 o'clock. Free puppies will be given to all children not accompanied by their parents." You better believe that the parents showed up for that movie with their children. Hannah promised the Lord that her child would be totally dedicated to the Lord, totally devoted to service in the temple. This was a blessing that she sought not for any selfish reason, but for the Lord's glory. This is the true reason why she wanted a child. She wanted to raise a child who would be devoted to the Lord. She pledged continue humble service for herself and for her child. Verse 12 says, "And it happened as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli watched her mouth." Hannah prayed a continuous prayer. She exemplified the attitude that prays and won't give up. Luke 18:1, the Lord gave the parable of the persistent widow to remind us that we ought always to pray and not give up. And Hannah was noticed in her prayer because she continued her prayer. God noticed her prayer as well. Sometimes the Lord's answer to our prayer does not come as quickly as we had hoped. And it's a struggle for us to understand that and to accept that. But I believe that sometimes God's answer to our prayer comes in this timing because it gives us a chance to develop this kind of persistence and perseverance in prayer. God was able to see the true devotion of Hannah's request by the fact that she refused to give up on it. She prayed about it, and she prayed about it, and she sought the Lord regarding it. And that developed the perseverance of Hannah, and that her answer didn't come as quickly as she might have hoped. But not only did Hannah pray a continuous prayer, she prayed a sincere prayer. Verse 13, "Now Hannah spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to her, 'How long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you.' But Hannah answered and said, 'No, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord.'" Hannah was only concerned about being heard by God. She wasn't paying attention to anyone else or whether or not they were looking or whether or not they could see her prayer. She wasn't trying to be heard by anyone else. She just wanted to be heard by God. The high priest Eli saw her. He could see her mouth moving, but he couldn't hear her saying anything. And he jumped to a conclusion, made an assumption about her that she was drunk, and accused her of a lack of sincerity. But Hannah defended her prayer. She said, "I've poured out my soul to the Lord and offered my prayer from deep in my heart." Our prayers must come from the same place as Hannah's. Because Hannah made this vow and prayed her continuous prayer and prayed with such sincerity, the Bible tells us that the Hannah prayed a blessed prayer. Verse 16. "Do not consider your maidservant to be a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken until now." And Eli answered and said, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition which you have asked of him." And she said, "Let your maidservant find favor in your sight." So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Eli informed her that her request had been granted. God would bless her prayer. She would have a child. Oh, how that prayer transformed her complaints and grief into peace and joy. Prayer truly has the power to change night into day. Hannah's prayer brought Samuel to life, and only the Lord knows How many situations have been blessed by a mother's prayer? But Hannah made a promise. She made a promise, and she did not fail to keep that promise that she had made to the Lord. In verse 19 of chapter 1, the Bible says that they rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord, and returned and came to their house at Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son. She called his name Samuel, saying, "Because I have asked for him from the Lord." Now, when she had weaned him, she took him up to Jerusalem with her, with three bulls, one ephah of flour, and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh. The child was young. Then they slaughtered a bull and brought the child to Eli. And she said, "O my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood by you here praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition when I asked of him. Therefore I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord." So they worshiped the Lord there. So Samuel ministered before the Lord, even as a child, wearing a linen ephod. And his mother used to make him a little robe and bring it to him year by year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. And Eli would bless Elkanah, his wife, and say, "The Lord give you descendants from this woman for the loan that was given to the Lord." And then they would go to their own home. And the Lord visited Hannah, so that she conceived and bore three sons and two daughters. And meanwhile, the child Samuel grew before the Lord. Hannah certainly did not fail to keep the promise that she had made to the Lord. It cost her many days separated from her child, but she did not back out of her promise. She gave Samuel to live in Jerusalem, to be trained by Eli to become a great priest and prophet. He spent his days learning the trade of serving the Lord. When she brought him to Jerusalem, she came with sacrifices of thanksgiving. And year by year, she continued to make that robe for him to show her love and support for Samuel in his priestly training and work. And Samuel stayed on the path that his mother started him on. He made his own choice to grow on that path. Samuel reminds me of Timothy. Timothy had a faithful mother and grandmother that started him on a good path too. Paul said in 2 Timothy 1:5, "I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also." But Timothy also made his own choice to stay on that path and to grow on that path and be the servant that God wanted him to be. He chose to stay on the path that they started him on. 2 Timothy 3:14 and 15 says, "You must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. From a child you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation." All of us at one point or another face a moment in life where we're tempted to choose our own path, to go in a different direction than our parents have gone. But if our parents have started us in the way of serving God, we don't need to make that change. We need to stay where God has put us. Stay where our parents have directed us. In Proverbs 1, 7 through 9, the Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. "My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck." There is a need to listen to godly parents and remember what they have taught us. when we are with them at home and when we're out and about. Resist the temptation to ignore their instructions and forget what they have said, because their teaching will protect you and bless you. Solomon was a king. He was famous and he was powerful. People bowed his head when they entered his presence and obeyed his orders. But I want you to notice how he responded when his mother entered his presence. 1 Kings 2:19 says that Bathsheba therefore went to the king Solomon to speak to him for Adonijah. And the king rose up to meet her and bowed down to her. He sat down on his throne and had a throne set for the king's mother, and she sat at his right hand. Even the king stooped in respect to her and bowed in respect to her. And likewise, we honor those mothers, those fathers, those parents who make sure that their babies are in church, who make sure that their babies have an opportunity to learn about God, to learn about Jesus. Many a young mother has asked herself, I don't know why I keep bringing them to church. She enters the auditorium and utters a silent prayer that the kids will be good today and the sermon will be short. The service begins and she spends the whole time picking up toys and drying eyes and wiping noses and swatting bottoms and scolding and going out and coming in and trying to sing and trying to listen and trying to pray, all while her toddler's pouring juice on her dress or spilling juice on her dress. To the toddler, church is an exciting adventure. Songbooks to take, toys that can become missiles to launch over four or five rows. Children are not a disturbance to God. Young families with small children are wanted and needed in worship. And we must have faith that the hand that today holds crayons may someday lead the congregation in singing, lead the congregation in prayer, or lead the congregation in study of God's Word. Young parents, never underestimate the good that you are doing by making sure that your children have an opportunity to be raised in church, to have that opportunity to know God. Many listening today have prayed a prayer like Hannah's, just wanting to be a parent. And we rejoice today in the answer that God has given. And we must also trust that God will help us as we strive to raise up faithful children. We can trust God to answer all of the prayers that we pray for our children. Author Carolyn Mahaney shares this advice with Christian parents. She said, years ago I was asked, if you could parent your daughters all over again, what would you do differently? Mistakes and failures flooded my mind, but in a moment I had my answer. I wish I had trusted God more. One of my favorite verses is Psalm 37:3. Trust in the Lord and do good. In my day-to-day parenting, however, I sometimes got this verse backward. I put the doing good in front of the trusting God. I obsessed over my failures and overlooked God's faithfulness. I was focused on what I was doing or not doing for my children and only vaguely aware of what God was doing in my children's lives. Trusting God became something of an afterthought, and I would mother my children as if it was all up to me. I lay awake at nights, rehearsing my deficiencies, revising my plans to be a better parent tomorrow. I obsessed over my failures and overlooked God's faithfulness. Nothing good I did was ever good enough. I worried that my efforts would result in failure. I worried that my limitations would hold them back. I worried that my sins would scar them for life. I worried that my hopes and desires for my children would end in bitter disappointment. we must trust God in our doing good. Trusting God doesn't nullify doing good, but it empowers everything that we strive to do. Only when we trust God can we do our children any good. And we must trust God that even though our doing good falls short, He is doing far more good than we can possibly imagine. We must trust God that our feeble efforts to do good are only fruitful because He is actively, aggressively doing good for us. We must trust God that even though we are far from perfect, we are the perfect parent for our children. End quote. Certainly something powerful to think about. And we honor and we respect folks like Hannah. She just wanted to be a godly mother. She prayed to the Lord to bless her desire, and He did. And she fulfilled her promise to devote her child to the service of the Lord. Because of that, she raised a great man, Samuel, who was a great leader for God's people. Still, we must recognize that the greatest thing that we can do to be the parent that God would have us to be is to be a faithful child of God. Ezra wanted to be a great leader, but he started out just simply by striving to be a good man. Ezra 7:10 tells us that Ezra prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, to do it, and then to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. He started by studying, wanting to learn God's will as he learned God's word. Secondly, he wanted to live what he learned in his own personal life, both privately and publicly. And then, and only then, was he equipped to go out and teach others. And we can apply that to any degree of leadership. We can especially apply it to our leadership as parents. Seek God's word to guide you in your life, in all aspects of your life, and especially your life as a parent. Seek to live what you learn, and then and only then will we be equipped to teach our children to walk in the ways of the Lord. Friend, if you're not a Christian today, then that path begins by accepting and obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. It teaches us to believe in Jesus, that He is the Son of God, John 8:24. It teaches us to repent of our sins and turn away from that which is sinful to turn toward that which is godly, Luke 13:3. It teaches us to confess our faith in Jesus with our mouths, Romans 10:10, and be baptized in the name of Christ for the remission of our sins, Acts 2:38, Galatians 3:27. Then we begin to strive for a life of faithfulness. And the Bible promises that if we are faithful unto death, God will grant us a crown of life, Revelation 2:10. If you have not taken those steps today, we urge you to please contact us and allow us the opportunity to help you do what God would have you to do.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Again, this has been Brent Arnold from the Greenfield Church of Christ. Thank you for tuning in today. We hope and pray that this lesson has been a blessing to you, and we hope that you'll tune in again next week to this same station at this same time. Please come and visit us as soon as you can. We're located on Highway 45 in Greenfield, Tennessee. We meet on Sundays at 10, 10:45 a.m. and 6 p.m. We also meet on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. You can contact us either by calling us at 731-235-2341 or by emailing us at greenfieldchurchofchrist@yahoo.com. We'll be looking forward to our next opportunity to go back to the Bible. Till then, have a great day.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my